And remember, Katrina, you must call me Doctor.
Have you ever thought what it's like to be wanderers in the fourth dimension? To be exiles?
This is the Doctor speaking. Well, one of them. Is there anybody there?
I hate computers and refuse to be bullied by them.
And their leader was called?
The Doctor.
Are you trying to tell us that you are the Doctor?
That's right. I've reversed the polarity of the neutron flow so the TARDIS would be free of the force field.
You may be a Doctor, but I'm the Doctor. The definite article, you might say. Would you like a jelly baby?
I'm a Time Lord.
I'm the Doctor. Or will be if this regeneration works out. And it seems not a moment too soon.
How do you do? I'm the Doctor.
I am the Doctor!
I'm the Doctor, by the way. What's your name?
Rose.
Nice to meet you, Rose. Run for your life!
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm the Doctor.
I'm Aldi.
Hello, I'm the Doctor.
Both eyes are cool.
It's a fez. I wear a fez now. Fezzes are cool.
Silence will fall.
Dillygaff, everyone. Welcome back to the TARDIS Blend. It has been a while, and have we got a special show for you? Two special shows, actually. And joining me from, what are you at, San Francisco?
San Francisco, the airport, actually.
San Francisco airport, on his way home from WonderCon, is the wonderful Tom Cheridar. T-Ched, how's it going, mate?
Going pretty good. I'm in San Francisco. I was covering WonderCon and interviewing Neil Gaiman. Toby, hold on, bear with us, folks.
if for people listening to the show, what you're actually hearing there is we're trying to record while Tom's at the airport. So every now and again, an announcement will come over the loudspeaker and it just, you know, frazzles his brain a bit.
I have ADD really bad, and you know, also we like to keep it professional, you know, nothing but the best.
Well, here's the deal, people. This is what we're going to do. This week we're putting out not one episode of the TARDIS Blend, but two, TARDIS Blend 20 and 21. And the reason for that is that Tom, the lucky bugger that he is, got a chance to interview Neil Gaiman about his episode of Doctor Who coming up this season, and the interview with Toby Haynes about directing the first two episodes of this new season coming up. And so for this episode, we're going to feature the interview with Toby so that you guys can catch up with all the rumors and spoilers and stuff going around about the upcoming two episodes. Couple of things, Tom, that we need to start off the show with, very important stuff. First and foremost, I'm very, very saddened to say the news. It is old news because we haven't recorded for a while, but we really need to cover this, and that is that the absolute legend, the wonderful and beautiful Nicholas Courtney, who played the Brigadier in the classic Doctor Who series, passed away at the age of 81 during February. Very, very sad news. He was well known for essentially being the Doctor Who's right-hand man with UNIT during the John Pertwee era. And, I was absolutely so floored when he passed away.
Did Tom Baker give him a shout-out on his blog?
I think he did. What's interesting about Nicholas Courtney, though, is that he played... like most companions have played with like one doctor or maybe two doctors. He played with eight doctors.
Really?
Yeah.
So, wow. I had no idea.
His first appearance was with Patrick Troughton. Well, he had a role with William Hartnell, but it wasn't as the Brigadier. And when Patrick Troughton's run came along, that's when he came in as Lethbridge Stewart. And then he was with John Pertwee, Tom Baker, and then he appeared with Peter Davison, Sylvester McCoy, and Colin Baker in other shows later on down the line. So, yeah, very, very sad news. I was kind of hoping that, you know, he might have had a chance to have a nice little cameo in the new series, but unfortunately it wasn't to be.
How nice to see you again, Doctor.
It's Colonel Lethbridge Stewart.
Brigadier now. I've gone up in the world.
Good heavens. Which one's you?
Well, don't you recognize the one?
No, don't tell me. Let me guess. Not that one. Not that one. Well, none of them?
Fifth from the left, third row.
Yes, well, if it's true, I can see why you grew that moustache.
I noticed that on Reddit, they have a very robust Doctor Who community on their subreddit. They have dedicated their logo space to him.
Absolutely. And we had another passing in the world of Doctor Who as well, although most people over here in the States will remember him as Alfred from Batman. But Michael Goff... he had two roles in Doctor Who. His first role was as the Celestial Toymaker, which he was the enemy, the Celestial Toymaker, acting against the First Doctor William Hartnell. And then later on, he was in an episode with Peter Davison in The Ark of Infinity. So, you know, that guy's had a long and illustrious career. And if there's any new Doctor Who fans out there who have only seen Goff's work in the Batman movie series, I highly recommend you look into his history, because not only has he done a couple of fantastic episodes of Doctor Who, he was also in some of the Hammer horror films with Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing as well. He's had a big, big part in movie and television history, and I would highly recommend that you check out that great actor. And he passed away at the age of 94, so he had a good innings. Made it to St. Patrick's Day, Tom.
Nice drink for him. Everyone drink to him.
Yeah. Glass of Guinness and that. His wife made a statement saying his body was deteriorating really badly this week, and he said that he wanted to hang on to St. Patrick's Day, and he did just. In the end, there's only love. And that was what the statement that she released. And, very sad to see him go. The other thing I wanted to mention was I want to send a great shout-out to our friends at BBC America. Tom, you had a chance to have a chat with them while you were at WonderCon, and they've informed you that they've checked out TARDIS Blend in the past. And
yeah,
want to say hello to those.
Yeah, even before I could get the words out, I said, you know, we also do a podcast for Doctor Who. Oh, yeah, I know it. I know exactly what you're talking about. I've heard it, and I was like, that's crazy.
That's awesome. So, hello, guys, from BBC America. We really appreciate you taking the time to, you know, listen to us rant on like a couple of fanboys about Doctor Who. But you know what? We appreciate the work that you guys are doing in promoting what we both feel is timeless storytelling that works well to this day. We really appreciate that you guys are really pushing it and promoting it. And, I'll send an invitation out to you guys now. If any of you guys want to join us on TARDIS Blend, just, you know, you can hit us up at geeksofdoom.com, and you would be more than welcome to join us on a show at some point in the future, and we can talk all things Doctor Who and Torchwood and Sarah Jane and all that stuff.
Yeah, and I will say, in talking with Devin Johnson, who is the contact for BBC America, he's a super fan. Like, was telling me about how he got to pick up Neil Gaiman at the airport. Very, very cool.
So. Well, let's jump into the content for what we're going to talk about tonight. We've got a very special clip for you that we're going to play. It's an interview with Toby Haynes, who's done directing with Doctor Who before. He's actually the first Doctor Who director to do three stories in a row. He directed part of the he directed Pandorica Opens, The Christmas Carol, and he's doing these first two episodes of Series 6. So that's a bit of a historical thing there. I think Neil Gaiman points that out in the WonderCon video that you posted up at Geeks of Doom today, Tom.
I did, and I finally got around to putting that online.
Yeah, so it's there, and we'll have the link to that in the show notes. So if you haven't seen that yet, you guys can check it out. And so why don't you set this up for us, mate? Tell us about meeting Toby Haynes and what was it like catching up with him?
Very, very, very cool, calm, and again, he's just a very big fan who, you know, he's sitting at the table, like, you know, wanting to swap, you know, like, you remember the time the doctor did those kind of stories? And so, you know, and he's you know, telling us about how he's gotten to open up the show and how the doctor's relationship with Amy Pond is you know, going to change. And, you know, lots of good stuff. Just check them out. Yeah, I guess that's it.
Okay, so here is Tom's interview with Toby Haynes. And you'll hear other people asking questions in there as well. I'm guessing that this was like a roundtable interview deal at WonderCon?
Yeah. There was lots of folks sitting near us. So, yeah, you'll hear people who are not me. Actually, I don't even think that I got to ask him a question because he was there for such a short amount of time. So,
but we do get to hear some of your thoughts about Neil Gaiman and some ideas and stuff that he'd put up in his blog, which you'll get to hear on the next episode. So, but for the time being, here is Toby Haynes at the roundtable interview from WonderCon.
The Doctor's darkest hour. He'll rise higher than ever before and then fall so much further. This is the day he finds out who I am.
Hey, bye, bye, Grump.
Okay, where are we?
Where we've never, ever been.
Look how cool this stuff is!
Let's just jump right in. Let's talk about what you get to do this season with Doctor Who.
Go to America. It's a big deal. It's just really exciting because in the scripts and the general story, we're going to deal with some big questions about the Doctor and try and answer some of those and about some of the major characters that we've seen so far, and sort of round off a couple of stories. And so these two openers really sort of set the season up to kind of do that. But yeah, going to America is exciting and big.
Whose idea was it to cross the ocean?
I don't know. I think maybe it was Stephen's idea. And, also it's something we knew that there was a sort of building sort of fandom over here. And so it's great to sort of make a connection with that and sort of help, get closer to it. And, my God, as an opportunity for a UK director, a UK team in a way, to do something like this is so exciting. It's, it makes it all worth it.
Besides the main cast, you also worked with Mark Ford and Alex. What was that like?
Alex is fantastic. I love Alex. We started did the Pandorica Opens and that together, and that was cool. So, I mean, she didn't know me then, and then working with her again on this one, she was a different person. She loved what we'd done on those. She knew that we were making her action adventurous, and so she was totally up for anything, and this is a girl who knows how to wield the laser blaster, and you've got to do that convincingly. And so I love doing that kind of stuff with her. She's just so receptive and keen to know and sort of confident.
How was the atmosphere on set here in this country?
It was good. It was, it was very exciting. A lot of pressure. We had only about 3 days to sort of get everything in. It was a very short time, and a lot to do. So, but just the scale of it, the fact that my first day I went to work in a helicopter, it was groundbreaking for us. But it was also weird because it was like we didn't take our crew with us. We were working with American crew, so it was for me and the actors. We were sort of bonded together in a way like God, this is what we're doing. You know, it's a big plus difference to how we do it in Wales. You know, and also Doctor Who is a weird show. It's a strange show. It has its idiosyncrasies, and so a new crew coming to it doesn't have a clue what's going on. You know, it's sort of like they don't know what it is. They don't know what's important to it. So we're telling them, well, this is important. You know, the sonic screwdriver is an important prop.
Don't lose the screwdriver.
Exactly. Matt has to have it in his pocket even if he's not using it. It's like, it's really important. And so, and to explain those things was weird, but it wasn't a problem. It wasn't like, because the crew was incredibly sort of efficient and able. It was just sort of, it was just a sort of bonding and kind of affirming experience of like, we know this show, we know how to make this show, we are this show, and we love it. And you just explain that, and our enthusiasm for it. I mean, the one thing that you guys really get out here is enthusiasm and kind of confidence. And when you see that, you just tie straight into it, and kind of it's so encouraging and it's celebrated, and it's just sort of, you know, it's magic. It's really good.
We're happy you're here. Might have seen the 8 million people online waiting to see the panel this morning.
Really?
Yeah, no. You've been accepted on these shorts, definitely.
Are you 8 million?
I believe, yes, I believe there are 8 million. It's a big room.
Okay.
Pandora Opens was probably one of the most time-bending Doctor Who episodes ever. When you got the script, how long did it take you to wrap your head around the pacing of it and then to shoot it?
Well, most scripts take about 2 weeks to get your head around it. But I mean, in a way, it had a better flow to it than a lot of stuff, other stuff I've read. Stephen really knows how to write action. He knows all the kind of locations really work well together. And so, basically, when you read a Doctor Who script, the first thing you think is, wow, it's really exciting, it's great. The second thing you think is, it's impossible to make. And so you're dealing with like 2 or 3 impossible things per scene that you've got to be able to make happen. And make happen very quickly on a TV show. And most people, the other thing is you realise is that they don't know how they're going to make it either. You know, Stephen's written it, so you look at the production team, they don't have a clue, so you're leading that. You've got to lead it with sort of imagination and invention. And so if you can't invent a way of making a cyberhead attack, you know, then it won't happen, and it very nearly didn't happen. And so, because I like it and I love it and I'm excited by it, you work out a way that's affordable and exciting to do, and that was a real thrill. That's probably my sort of greatest thrill of doing that episode, was making that whole sequence work. And, you know, and also having the biggest set that they'd ever built for Doctor Who. I've been so lucky, the biggest set they've ever built for Doctor Who on my first episode, going to America on this last one, and working with Michael Gambon on the Christmas special. You know, I have a good life.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Fear me. I've killed hundreds of Time Lords.
Fear me. I've killed all of them. I've been running my whole life. Now it's time for me to stop.
Doctor Who, coming soon to BBC One and BBC One HD.
And we're back, and that was Tom and all the geeks and nerds and wonderful people hanging out at WonderCon. I wish I could have been there this year, hanging out over there in San Francisco interviewing Toby Haynes. And,
maybe next year, man.
Maybe. We'll see how we go. But let's talk about that first episode and the first two episodes. And basically, we know that this first episode is set on location in the United States. We know now that the president in the story was Nixon. We did a lot of speculating about that in podcasts gone by. We were humming and hawing about it possibly being Kennedy, and maybe Kennedy is part of the story might be the Kennedy assassination, and we weren't really sure. But now it's very clear. It's set in 69. It's got something to do with the moon and astronauts, because the first two episodes are called The Impossible Astronaut and The Day of the Moon. Very interesting scenario we find ourselves in with this particular story. And I've got a major spoiler, Tom, to tell you about, and I'm really interested in hearing your reaction to this. We have four main characters in this episode. We've got the Doctor, we've got Amy, we've got Rory, and we've got Riversong. Okay, and all four of them are going to play a very important role individually in these two episodes. What I can tell you is one of them will die.
Well, can we go ahead and say it's not the Doctor?
But what if it is?
But it's not.
But what if it is? What if
it's also not? It's also not. Rory, because Neil Gaiman talks about writing lines for him and Amy Pond.
Right, but timey-wimey, time can be rewritten.
True.
And that you could also
argue... Death has no spite, so...
Yeah, you could also argue that, well, it can't be River because she's already dead in terms of, like, we've already seen her death in the David Tennant episode with the silence in the library and Forest of the Dead.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, we've already seen Amy die, and she came back. We've seen Rory die twice, you know, and he came back. He kind of became the Kenny of Series 5 when you think about it.
Yeah,
but
and he's not a robot, right?
Right, and so then it leaves the Doctor. So... Something. This has been confirmed by Stephen Moffat. Someone's going to die. It's on the cover of Doctor Who Insider magazine. Someone will die. And so, what's really interesting is, as soon as I found this out, I dived into the Gallifrey base forums to try and get a feel for what's going on. See if anyone knew who it was. That died, because they had the big premiere today in London for the press and for several lucky fans that won tickets to see the first two episodes. So it's already, you know, been shown to those people at the premiere over in London. So they know, but a lot of people are keeping very tight-lipped about what's going on. And I got to say, Tom, like, I've been... a total spoiler geek for numerous years, from you know, the late 90s, when, you know, news about the Phantom Menace was surfacing before that was released, and this is the first time I can think of ever where a revelation like this has caused nothing but absolute confusion with so many fans. And so there's a lot of people really scratching in their head, and they're not really sure how it's going to go. And personally, I love that kind of feeling, because it's like, you can't win, because the more you speculate about it, the more nonsense it sounds. You can't kill the Doctor because he can regenerate. And you can't kill Amy. She's already had a death. And you can't kill Rory. He's already died twice. And you can't kill Riversong because, well, we know her ultimate fate lies in the library. So who's it going to be?
I don't know. But I do kind of feel like they do this. They're very strategic about how they drop this information in, because they know their audience very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have no idea, but it does make the episode even more interesting. You know, most spoilers people hate to hear about, because they, you know, they take away from the story. To whereas this is, you know, the Doctor Who audience is very, you know, fine-tuned to every small detail, to the point of which it's actually working the opposite way. So, I don't know, Greg.
It sounds to me, mate, that there's a lot of stuff going on with these first two episodes and the whole season as a whole. That's really going to redefine Doctor Who for a lot of people, and I don't think a lot of fans anyway are going to be happy with it. But I think, just by looking at the trailers that got put out, I think this season is probably going to be one of the most memorable, because it looks spooky as hell, and it really goes back to, you know, the original feel of Doctor Who, and that is that it was a multi-generational show available for families. Geared towards kids, but, you know,
but broad enough for everybody. And I'll give you a good example. in that panel, they talked about how Moffat can write some really, really, really horrid monsters, like President Nixon.
Yeah, I did say that.
And Mark Sheppard's like, oh, gosh, monsters are real.
Yeah.
If you haven't checked out the video of that panel, definitely check it out. We got it up on Geeks of Doom. Good stuff.
So there's lots of stuff going on now. What they have confirmed is that now there's a couple. Do you know what the aliens are called in these first two episodes, Tom?
No idea.
They're called the Silence. With TS on the end. The Silence.
Huh.
As in silence will fall.
Interesting.
And Moffat's confirmed today that the Silence Will Fall story arc does tie into the first two episodes, but it's going to spread right across the whole season. And it's very much in tune with that. So in a lot of ways, what he's done is he's taken Series 6 and split it in half, turned it into two seasons, and found a way to be able to join them together with this one story arc. So I think by the time the last episode of the first half of the season comes along, we're going to be ready to be screaming and throwing things at our televisions.
I can't wait.
Cliffhangers, mate. So let's have a quick look at the overview for Series 6, what information we have so far. There's still a few titles that we haven't been informed about. There's working titles, but I'm going to go with the confirmed titles that are up online at the TARDIS wiki. And if you're as much a Doctor Who fan as what Tom and myself are, you will find yourself spending and wasting many hours at the site. It's chock full of information. It's very, very good. And so what we've got, the first two episodes, it's a multi-part adventure. Part one is called The Impossible Astronaut, and the second part is called Day of the Moon. The fourth episode is Neil Gaiman's episode called The Doctor's Wife, and we'll have more about that on the next episode. Episodes 5 and 6 are two parts. And the first part's called The Rebel Flesh. Part two is called Gangers. Episode 7, which is the final episode before the break in the season, and it's titled A Good Man Goes to War. No idea of what the second part is called, which will be the 8th episode, which reopens the season in the fall. And then episode 11 is called The God Complex, and then the season rounds out with episodes 12 and 13. And so that's what we're looking at so far. And the first episode airs in a few weeks on the 23rd of April. Basically going worldwide on that day. It's going to be on BBC in the UK and BBC America here in the US. And so you can check that out all here on your television screen here in the States and in the UK. And for all the latest news and rumors and stuff, you can check it all out at geeksofdoom.com. Tom, anything to add?
Not really.
Well, we're gonna close off this episode, and as soon as we finish, we're gonna record episode 21, which you'll get to hear tomorrow or the day after on geeksofdoom.com. Now, a lot of the stuff we're gonna talk about is gonna be with Neil Gaiman's episode, so there'll be gonna be some stuff that you may have already heard before if you've been following up the rumors and spoilers. But it's gonna be a lot of fun. Like, if you bear with us and be a bit patient and check out the next episode tomorrow. I think you're really going to enjoy hearing what Neil Gaiman has to say about his episode, because I had to listen to the interview and I got pretty pumped up about what he had to say. Tom?
Sorry, I think cut out for a second.
Okay.
Say that again.
I was just going to say, I was listening to what Neil Gaiman has to say in the interview. I got pretty pumped up about his particular episode.
Oh, I'm very, very pumped up because, you will find out next episode.
Absolutely.
If you get on a rant now, it won't stop.
That's true. All right, so we'll catch you probably tomorrow at geeksofdoom.com for the next episode of TARDIS Blend. And we'll see you then. Later.